The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
This is Jerry Mathers as the Beaver. You're listening to Cthulhu Chronicles.
Good afternoon, Atomic Athletic. Roger speaking.
This is me, Frank Cthulhu.
Hello?
This is me, Frank Cthulhu. What's going on?
Okay.
Oh, look who's joined us.
I'm sorry, I'm not getting half.
We're broadcasting. We're on right now.
Hello?
This is me, Frank Cthulhu.
Okay. This is Roger LaPointe from Atomic Athletic.
What are you saying now?
This is Roger LaPointe from Atomic Athletic.
This is me, Frank Cthulhu.
I'm not understanding what you're saying.
I keep telling you. This is me, Frank Cthulhu.
Okay, what can I do for you?
I will be there. Cocktails and hors d'oeuvres. Everybody I've mentioned. I have it on good authority.
Yes?
We're broadcasting. We're on right now. What do I say again? Oh, look who's joined us.
I'm getting a strange echo here. That's making it really difficult to understand what you're saying.
This is me, Frank Cthulhu. It's really funny. They're not all dumb. Oh, yeah, right. These are the wrong words. That's a bad word to use. Flew out of my head like a squirrel in a palm tree.
Okay, I'm going to let you go.
I'm going to take a short break here. Put some news and crap on.
Call back again, okay? Appreciate it. Thank you. Who's this? Hold on a second. Hold on one second. Hold on.
Hey, this... You have someone calling on the web connection line.
I do. Who's on the web?
This is me, Frank Cthulhu.
Is it really?
How do I know that? 1, 2, 3.
How you doing, Frank? Can you hear me now? Frank.
Don't take a short break. Frank. Put some news and crap on.
Good morning.
Oh, my God.
You lack discipline.
Shut him up. All right, go ahead.
Stop whining.
Hold on.
Hey, this. How about a piece of lovely leather? Connection
line. Wait, Eggman's talking to me.
Oh, look who's joined us.
Calling on the web connection
line. Jamie, please. Good morning. How are you? Who is your daddy?
You have someone.
Oh, look who's joined us. Connection line.
Thomas Aquinas.
Old fish. I'm taking a short break here. Put some news and crap on.
Hello?
Okay. They keep me coming.
Thanks for calling, Wendy's. This is Nikki.
This is me, Frank Cthulhu.
I'm sorry.
How are you doing this evening?
Good.
I love these guys.
Okay, who is it?
How loud do I want it? This is me, Frank Cthulhu. I keep telling you. I've ruined someone's day. Sorry.
Hello?
This is me, Frank Cthulhu.
Excuse me?
This is me, Frank Cthulhu.
Who is this?
This is me, Frank Cthulhu. Oh, yeah, right. Everybody I've mentioned. Fuck you.
All aboard!
said it best. Cthulhu Chronicles. This is the Great Broadcast, and you're welcome for the wonderful radio. This is me, Frank Cotolo, the program based on the original short story of Rodents and Hombres. There's that Brooklyn sense of humor you've heard so much about. It's worldwide. I'm all over the place. I've been all over the place, and I'm here now with you live. I may claim, because I am, the bard of broadcasting, and I'm here with you as representing everyone who ever spoke on Landmine Radio. Landmine Radio, this is a good name for a show. On Landlocked Radio and Internet Radio. I've been here, been there, I'm everywhere, but I'm here right now with you. It's Cthulhu Chronicles. Stay with us. There's so much you need to know. To Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Hi, it's me, Frank Cotolo. Hi, it's me, Frank Cotolo. Over the years, so many crazy things that went on inside of this microphone, this very same microphone. Now that you mention it, and I just did, this is the same microphone. But I will tell you this much, though, in the spirit of the show as it has ensued and continued. Well, it's still hot, even though it's only, I put a little air into here, as it has ensued over the past 20-something years, because I'm sure it's 20-something, living on the great voice of Larry Mikulich, and the production that Larry Mikulich has, it stayed. He did it all on the interweb, well, in digital ways or not. And those of you who can remember, I don't know how many people have been here as long as I have or anyone has. Few people came and went, but unfortunately Mr. Larry Mikulich passed from his mortal coil last week. So we don't want to sit back and go, this show is dedicated to, because Larry's stuff is going to be here and on this show for as long as I do this show. And that's right. It wasn't just that opening. You know, he did the express train. Bum, 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 bum. You'll hear that again. That was Larry. And, of course, Larry was the voice of Jerry Mathers, was played by Larry. You're here, and then you're not. And so I do want to let everybody know that, though, because he deserves at least that announcement. But he'll be here, because everyone who is ever here is still here as long as we're here. So there's that. As you can see, I'm at a loss for words with things like that. I don't want to get into any kind of a monologue on the passing of people from my generation, no less people who I have had creative moments with here and afar. We don't need to do that. We do have that and him and everyone else forever. Because once you're on the internet, right, you're always there. Somewhere, you're always there. So in any event, in all event, and certainly in this event, the great broadcast continues. And it will continue as long as it goes. But I planned, and I don't know how to get into what we're going to talk about this evening, but I'll give you a couple of the pre-talking things, you know, because we got stuff pre-talking things. I'll give you some of the promotions that we're going to make up shows to come as the, maybe I'm an hour behind. You know what else happened? No, you don't. How would you know? You know, I can't, at least, let's see, an hour? No, it's 5, 10, 15. Someone needs to put a battery in that, someone probably being me in the studio clock here, because it's getting slower and slower and slower. And so I'm just, again, you know, just a balancing act or what have you. Here at Cotolo Chronicles, we're going to have guests, and we're going to try to get as many people as we can on the show with me from now until forbid. I love that phrase. Until forbid. Someone's got to come in and forbid it. So among them, we hope, will be Jason Emmett, the Coconut Monkey Rocket, and promoting and playing some of the new Coconut Monkey Rocket recordings. You're not going to hear these anywhere else. And believe me, it's every bit as important as anything Snyder Griffith will say. Now, I said Snyder Griffith because that's the name that came to my head when I was trying to say Tucker Carlson. You know, I do that all the time. Whatever name comes to my head, I say it. Skyler Griffith? What is that all about? Anyway, the Coconut Monkey Rocket, and then Eric and Ryan from Martini Bomb. Maybe those will be two different shows. I think we'll do that. Dr. Woldar has been in touch with me, and Dr. Woldar will... We're going to wait a bit. He teaches when we record this show. Of course, he's a great teacher. He's a doctor. And I was like, you know, it is one thing to graduate. Even I graduated college, okay, friends? Even I graduated college. I'm not putting myself down, but what I mean is I'm not academically inclined in so many ways. But to become a doctor, a professor, a doctor, is that the highest? I think, yeah, that's tough. And it goes on and on and on. Dr. Andrew Woldar will be here. And we're going to get Skyler on here, too. If not with him, then without him. And what else? I told you that there's other people coming on here. Who is this? Kathy DeVisis. I don't even know that person. I got things here. All right. I got stuff. Who else? Are we going to have on? I have all these things. We're going to get, I'm going to get comedian Bon Beledew. See, I couldn't think of the name. So I went Ron Boyle. No, it's not Ron Boyle. It's Ben Knoll. I don't know why it works, but when I say different, the only names that come to my mind when I'm trying to remember an actual name, it works when I say these crazy names. It has always worked and always annoyed everyone who ever heard me do it. I wouldn't annoy you. It's just we all have these little gimmicks that we use in our life to present and express ourselves. That's one of them that I have. And you are welcome for the wonderful radio, especially tonight. Or this afternoon, don't forget, you can hear Cotolo Chronicles new and rebroadcast. Well, the new rebroadcast, the fresh shows, the ones we do live next week, are heard on any number of stations. Go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com and find out the stations. Or just Google it. Or does everyone just Google anymore? I mean, we've come to say Google it and used it as a verb as if that's the only thing you do. But you could Bing it, because it's still Bing, right? You could Bing it. You could Excite it. All those places still exist. Search engines aplenty. Yeah, that. And what is this? I'm just reading through some notes here. Because I made notes about this, what we're going to talk about here. The legends, lies, losers, lies and losers, or what have you. It's an extension of things I've talked about, little snippets that I have talked about over the years. Let's see. What else? Who else is going to be on? It says here Bob Fosse and Audie Murphy. Neither of them are going to be on. They're gone forever. Why is there a list of dead people here? Is that... Did you do that, Larry? Back from the dead. As what? Superman? Superman Comics? Did we do that already? I think we did. I don't know why these notes are completely out of order, but that's I do know that. I'll tell you why. Because there's no, and when I said to you, I made notes about the legends and the liars and the stuff. I mean, I made those notes, they're just little scribbles. And, I don't usually even do that. So when I have these things here, SiriusXM, okay, then we're not going to give them any value packs. No, I don't know why this stuff is here. We're going to rebroadcast our dark web. Are we going to do that? I always do that as if there's other people here. And it has to do with the fact that there have been. As I mentioned, Larry Michalich used to man this, the operation here, the controls. Oh, wow, that's really going back. We're really going back a bunch of years. Kristen, my ex-wife, used to be sitting over there. And then once in a while, like one entire summer, my son Jack was here. And, of course, you know Ray Cotolo because he is the only person ever to sit in this seat and do an entire Cotolo Chronicles show on his own. And it was Cotolo Chronicles. Yes, that's it. D... The artist, not to be confused with the artist D. The artist D will be here. We're going to have a real good discussion about how crowded the web. That's poetic, right? That's the way Walt Whitman would put it. How crowded the web. Walt Whitman, a poet. Didn't say it. Okay, we're going to get into that there too. What else? I'll find more people. We're going to have a lot of people on. I'm going to get my old partner, he is old, because I'm old too. Tom Savino will be back. Remember, Savino Veritas? I think we're going to do a Savino Veritas show in the context of Cotolo Chronicles. That's what we'll do. We'll get him back on the air. Don't you worry about it like you are, right? Craig Lehner was here last week. Don't forget his book, All Things Lead to Hamilton. I hope I remembered it correctly, the title. Off the top of my head, I did. He was here talking about that book and writing. Just go to Craig Lehner. It might be different than basketball. Look up Craig Lehner on your, ready? Your Bing, your Yahoo, your Excite, your, what's that doctor guy? No, not doctor. It's a, Jeeves. Ask Jeeves. And they still have Ask Jeeves? Yes, they do. I'm sure they do. And you could have his books. I have a whole bunch of things here. Let's see. What happened to the 2019 movie trends? You know, it's been so disruptive this year between the incredible heat that shut this studio down from us doing it live and therefore having it to record. But when we're not here, you go up to the cloud. I mean, you could still listen. You'll hear music. You'll still hear me doing things, just not the things I do when I'm live. But we've had such distractions this year because of the heat. Well, let's just say the weather, and we've had technical difficulties that we have not done as many shows as we've done by this time each year, because we were on for years. And I was here whether I was sick, whether I was tired, sick, and then when I was sick and tired. We have been here, and then all of a sudden, there were these cancellations, things that stopped us from doing it live. But we came back. We're resilient. We came back to do it. So what was my point with that? My point is that we've been so distracted that we haven't been able to do all those. So there's a lot of things I had, even though I do not completely or entirely or meticulously plan a show, because otherwise it would be a program. It's a show. Even though I don't meticulously prepare As a matter of fact, I don't prepare at all. Wait, I don't prepare. I never rehearse, but I'm always prepared. So I use prepare a different way. Even so, so I have all these notes and stuff about trying to do stuff that I didn't do. So I'm going through it now to tell you that we're going to have guests. So you know what? And why, you know, why go ahead? I gave you enough names for now. What do you want from me? What do you need from me? Why am I here? I have, okay, put this away. I just will tell you this, though. We are going down the Hallelujah Trail. You know, there have been so many things that we say regularly that we don't say them regularly. Yes, because it started out with just a couple of things. For instance, early on, 2019, 99, 98, whenever the heck that happened, that those years, you know, we used to say, welcome, right? We say welcome, and we talk about replenishing your precious bodily fluids. For a long time, I did some live shows, and people would come up to me and go, I'm not here to listen to you. I'm here to replenish my precious bodily fluids. That became something we said over and over and over again. And then, you know, there were times we didn't because we kept saying other things. Of course, we've always been on the Hallelujah Trail. If you don't know what that is in essence or in entirety, I'm not telling you now. And it's been very difficult for me to bring in, well, anyway, we kept coming up with various things that we said, little snippets. I don't even know what to call those things. You know, mini wisdoms. I don't know. We never come up with a word for those things we did, but we said all those things as we went along, and then we wouldn't say them one time, we'd say them another time. You know, I always end the show the same way, though. That is particularly easy to remember, but so many different things. Oh, by the way, you are welcome for the wonderful radio, just like that, which happened this year. That happened this year. You won't hear that when you go back and hear other shows. Now, you're saying, how do I go back and hear other shows? I know what you're saying. It takes you so long to get to the topic, but it's okay, because this is going to be good, and then not rehearsed either. That's what's great about this. When I screw up, you hear me screw up right here. JuicedTalk.com. Juiced, as in orange juice. Juiced, as you use juice, as it was juiced. JuicedTalk.com. There are lots of archived shows there, not just my show, archived shows. The now old but never defunct Savino Veritas is there. Terribly funny, Mr. Tom Savino. I thought his D had 17 different shows running at once, and they're all there. I think Velvet Steel show may still be there. Remember Velvet Steel? I should have Velvet Steel on again. I'm going to bring back people who were on before. I'm going to bring some new people on. And I want to apologize for anyone who tried to listen to me this past Tuesday on the Jiggy Jaguar show, because it didn't happen. And I don't want to go into any kind of editorial about why it didn't happen, but it did have to do again with something technical. That thing, which I was complaining about last week when I had Craig Lehner on, has to do with Skype. I get my, you know, the things that Microsoft bought, the sites that Microsoft now bought and now runs or operates. I don't know what they bought them. I don't know the business deal, but those particular sites I have trouble with. I don't have any trouble with Google. Okay. And I think I told you this. I have already written an entire book on Google Docs. I love Google Docs. And I told you about the Word thing. And what? The Word thing is Microsoft. Microsoft says, you want to use Word now? We're going to give you Word. You pay for it. You rent it. I rented it 2 years in a row. I don't want to do that anymore. The guy from Microsoft actually said to me at a store, he said, why don't you use Google Docs? I'm there, babe. But anything that Google took over Twitter. I have no trouble. No problem with Twitter. Google took over a number of things. I don't have any trouble. I have trouble with all the Microsoft takeovers. So there. Why did I bring that up? I don't know. I'm all like coffee, too. Did you replenish? You can replenish your precious bodily fluids. I mean, talking here tonight, so I can't even go to the bathroom. Oh, yes, I can. I can always put on, you know, one of those little crazy little songs I love. the beverage of your choice to replenish your precious bodily fluids. You can do it. The Board of Broadcasting says you can. So you can. And I will now. I have two books here. And I want to talk once and for all about this change in a word, the watering down of the potency of the word and its definition, legend. I have been talking about this for a long time because in the new world of pop culture, okay, I'll turn that off, okay? Let's get real serious, even if I sweat a little. In the new world of pop culture, okay, let's try it again. All right, take two. In the new world, the current world of pop culture, certain phrases, certain words, certain descriptions have been given to people who have been around a while, contemporarily. Also, to people who are long gone. And that is, of course, the use of the word legend, calling. I'm sorry, I gotta put it on. It's amazing how, why is it so warm? As it is, I had to use a special $1 spray because it was so damp down here because we're in a basement, and yet the basement is really land level to the backyard, but you don't need to know that. Let me go back to the thing. So, I want to clear this up once and for all, and perhaps if you agree with me, and I don't know why you shouldn't because I'm right, you will help me to save the word, its meaning, and therefore the status that the word does give, the high status the word should give to as a modifier. In other words, the legend is not legendary. Now, I don't know if this started with that stupid TV show, but I don't remember people misusing no less, misusing the word, but also using it as a modifier for every Tom, Dick, and Harry. The legendary Tom, the legendary Dick, and the legendary Harry. Who, by the way, are legends. Tom, Dick, and Harry. We're going to get through that. But, you know, there was that Patrick Swayze. Well, no, not Patrick. There's another Patrick. Patrick Moynihan. No, he was a senator of New York. We're talking about Patrick, the guy from How I Met Your Mother. Remember that show? Went on for 93 years, and then we found out that, you know, it could have been over in one episode. And Patrick Harris. Harris Patrick Dunkirk, whatever his name. His character used to say, this is legendary. And he used that word because he was trying to say this is something that what? Well, I don't know. Do you know the word? Do you know what it means? If I ask you, do you know? I'm going to refer to some of these notes I have here because I want to make sure I cover some topics. Let me first, before talking about its misuse or what have you, go to, first, a book. This book is, what is this book? First, the pronunciation key. Art, com, what is that? This is the New York Times Everyday Reader's Dictionary of Misunderstood, Misused, Mispronounced Words. All right? This book goes back a bit. Quadrangle, I guess that's their publishing arm. See? Copyright, this goes back, are you ready for this? 1972. Now that's long, but remember that the New York Times goes back to the 1800s in New York, and it's a very old, it's an institution, not a legend. It's not the legendary newspaper, okay? But here we go. You know, it would be interesting to read the foreword. That's forward, not forward. A lot of people get that confused. in the beginning of a book, there's a foreword. And people think like forward, like move forward. That's F-O-W, for, F-O-R-W-A. No, it's foreword, F-O-R-E-W-O-R-D. It's a foreword. That word meaning before the general text or the actual text, there is this foreword, this introduction. So you can actually look up. They said actually too much. That's a very new thing. You could look up the definition of foreword, but I'm not. From 1972, before this happened, this new face of the word legend and legendary. Oh, God, I get sick thinking of it. I know what. I don't lose sleep over these things. I just, in pop culture, which this show and I have been partners trying to express the ups and downs, the truth of pop culture without being like Arnie Swartworth, who's Tucker Carlson. Why am I using him all of a sudden? He's the same, you know, a big ball of Tucker Hannity and those guys. You know, Glenn Hannity and Tucker Beck or whatever. What I'm saying is that pop culture has been the engine of many of the topics of this show. We didn't get into much politics, and when we did, we connected it to pop culture and its effects on pop culture, because pop culture, more than politics, more than almost any area of Western life, is touched. People are touched by pop culture more than anything. And this is a pop culture issue that has started, as I said, I don't know when, but it's, you know, it's contemporary per se. So in 1972 version of this book, I don't know if this book comes out anymore. You know, it's still in very good shape. H-I-J-K. So this H-I-J-K-L-M, so it's L. What would this say in 1972? All the words that are connected to legend, all the variations of the word legend and what have you, starts on page... Oh, it's not that page either. It starts on page... Ah, look at this. On page... Like you care. Like you're looking at the same book. You know, I'll bet you not one person out there has this book, no less a copy of one of the books if they came out with them. Here, I'm going to 176. I'm just letting you know from 1972 book. And this is not all the words, remember. It's not all the words you need to know. This is a book dealing with misunderstood, misused, mispronounced words. And we're in the category of what? Misunderstood and misused. Misunderstood and misused. I'd like you to introduce you to Mr. Understood and Mr. Used. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I mean. Five words. That's one of the things over the years. It starts with the word legendist. Legendist. This is a misused and mispronounced. I don't think it's mispronounced. How would you mispronounce it? This is a misused and misunderstood word. It's in the book. Legendist. What? Did I say it right? Yeah, legendist is a noun. So it's what? Noun is a person, place, or thing. This is not a person. Legendist. To, here, a writer or compiler of legends. Someone who compiles legends. Now, the best person I could think to mention at this point would be Joseph Campbell, who has written many stories and many books. I don't know how many books or whatever. And was the champion. Well, he still is in print of the story of the hero, which, you know, they used for Star Wars and a million other dramas. Legendist. He was, okay. So if you compile legends, and you can't do that with the new definition, you can't do that because you would just be mentioning everyone. That's how misused and how watered down is this status of legend? Now, it says, the next one is legendized. Legendized. Okay? And it says, to make a legend of, as his admirers legendized his exploits. Well, you have to know what legend means in order to legendize the exploits. But this, I'm saying legendize, I'm using this right now, saying legendize because of the misinterpreted meaning. To make a legend of blah, okay? To legendize his exploits. So you have to know what legend itself means, truly means, and that you can't do that with just anyone. The exploits do not necessarily create a legend. You getting all this down? You know how you can? Hey, listen. And it's not a commercial, but you know, I do promote this, and I've been promoting it for tons of years, because I have right now, my notebook, of course, is a Mead notebook, and they're very hard to get Mead notebooks, but every year, Mead is the name of the company that makes, stationery. And they are responsible for, I don't know if they're the originators. That's right. Are they legendary? The legendary composition book. See, you can't do that. It's not a legendary it's not. It's old. It's iconic. But it's not legendary. And these are tough to get. They're expensive if you buy them at the Mead website. I know, because when I couldn't get them anywhere, and I wouldn't just get any of these, you know what a composition book looks like? Everyone knows. But they're not all Meads. The Mead makes two different kinds. The wide ruled and the college ruled. College ruled is smaller. And I guess that's because they figured people in college wanted to write more on a page. I don't know. I don't have that information. But it's tough to get these composition books. They're usually 100 sheets, which is 200 pages. And everyone has used them or have gotten them sometime in school grades. All the way from kindergarten. Well, maybe kids use, in kindergarten, maybe kids use composition books now, because kindergarten isn't the jerky circus of children it was when I was growing up in it. But these Mead books you can get especially cheap when they're on sale at various places during that short period when a lot of stores and outlets and discount stores, like, you know, the dollar stores and the Five Below stores and those stores that have old cheap junk in it, which is not always junk, some good stuff in there. And before school, they have an entire section of, you know, school supplies. Fine. I got two for a dollar. That's 50 cents a Mead book. It's too late now, kids. You're going to have to wait till next year. In the meantime, they're great things, and if you use them, you use them. But that's how my notes are all in there, and I have tons of these books hanging around over the years. And I think I mentioned that I'm going to do a show where I go through all my notebooks. And in the notebooks, yeah, from like way back, because I keep them all. And there's going to be wonderful little things in there. And I'm going to recite stuff for you. There's poems, there's lyrics, there's jokes. That's the funny part. There's funny things. It'll be fascinating. And I hope, as a matter of pop culture, that it inspires you to keep notes and do things, not just use this for school. Okay, so I have this book, and I also have what we always use. That book was the New York Times book. But now we're going to go back even farther in time and distance. The 1960 Webster's New American Dictionary. And we're going to look up. I'm going to read you what it says. These pages are getting yellow, and, you know, they feel what? I don't know what that. What is that feeling? You don't feel that. Nothing else feels like this. If I keep doing that, they're going to rip. Or will they tear? Okay, H-I-J-K-L, M, meaty, magnitude, loss, legend, legend. I have to read this in order to make you understand, well, to enforce and support my, look at that dust on it, my, what would this be? It's not a philosophy. I guess the truth. That's what, okay. L-E-A? No. L-E, legalism. Left-handed. Legend is L-E-A. No. It's L-E-G-A. L-E-G. L-E, lethargic. Lethargy. L-E-G. L-E-D. And A-B-C-D-F-G, H-R-J-K-L. Hey, where is this? L-E-A? L-E-G? L-E? L-E-L? Lecture? Lector. Lector actually is a word. And they say doctor, you know, lector. I wonder why they call them lector. An ecclesiastic in minor orders appointed to read. Come on, what's with might? Can't I have some might and read this? Thank you. Now I'm in the, you know, I get sidetracked here, but I want to see what this is. An ecclesiastic in minor orders appointed to read the lessons in church is the lector. Okay. Every once in a while, you know, open up a book and learn a word. They have, you know, these things on, what? In your email, you can get like a learn a word a day, and then they have the urban dictionary, the regular dictionary, the free dictionary. They just send you stuff, and I'm sure there's what's attached to it, right? They get, you give them their, your email, so there's stuff attached to it, and it's one big cluster fork of L-E-A. I know I left it alone, I didn't want it. Where's Ledge? I can't even. L-E-D, L-E-E, L-E, leeway, left. Here we go. We're going to get it. Legacy. Here we go. Legacy. Money. Look at this. Money or property left to... Oh, it's a legacy. Of course. Like I never heard it before I'm reading it. Legalism, legal, legal, ledge, e, leg, legato is the word from that. This is what this says. Okay? Legend. Noun. It's like a spiritual joy. Noun. Want to meditate instead of do this? Doing this? No, we'll do it. Any story coming out of the past. Listen now, listen. That is not any story coming out of the past. Listen, let's qualify and define this. Any story coming out of the past based on history, but not verifiable, not verifiable. All right? That means you can't prove this happened, and it's a story in history. When you say history, you don't mean the last 10, 12 years, okay? Now, there's a semicolon. A legend is also the inscription on a monument, right? The legend is, well, you know legend from on a map, the legend of a map. It explains what's where and what have you. Third, descriptive lines under an illustration of a book. Period. Now, the important thing about this is this. Any story, story, not person, any story coming out of the past, past, based on history. That doesn't mean it's part of the history or any, it's based. But not verifiable. You want to look up verifiable? Huh? Here. So listen, so we can get, you can get this straight and always use it right and realize that we're not making fun of people or putting people down when we say they're not legends. And I'm going to go through that and show you how this is misused. And I'm going to make up legends of people who should not be legends because the people's not a legend. A person is not a legend. Legend is a story. Okay, you got that from the past. Okay. Now, verifiable. V-E-R, like a spelling bee. Verifiable. V-E-R. You know, like on spelling bees, I love when they do that. The word is verifiable. And then the kid goes, because it's always kids, right? They don't have adult spelling bees, do they? There's a game show waiting to happen. Verifiable. Or verify. Let's look. Then, Veronica. Veronica is a noun. A representative. Did you know that? Yeah, it's unbelievable. Every time I could be 113, and I will open, not the New York Times book, a good old dictionary, and find a word that I know as something else, like a name. Veronica. What is a Veronica? That's a representation of Christ on a cloth. That's called the Veronica. Ha! Where's verifiable? Ver, e, H-I-J-K-L-N-M-O. Here. Vermiculate. No. I gotta, you should see this book. I always use this book. And I've used it over the years. On this show. Constantly when we have to verify something. There you go. Verify. V-E-R. Verbatim. Verdancy. Verd antique, verdni, verre, vivere. What happened to it? Ver if, vermin, no, ver if, veritable? What, we're right here. I got it. Verily. Verily we roll along. It's not verily. Verily, what? Verify. Here we go. Ready? Cannot be verified. You ready for this? I gotta mark. Where's Ledger? I'm gonna mark that so we can go back to it. I use a pencil. Oh, now I lost verify. You know? Verify. To prove to be true. To prove to be true. Remember, it's something that cannot be verified. And that's important because if we say, and let's use, let's use Stephen Van Zandt. That's not his name. No. What's that guitar player's name? Let's just use Eric Clapton. Because everyone says, you know, Eric Clapton. Why? When it comes to guitar playing, he's a legend. His legendary guitar playing. Well, I got news for you. You can verify that guitar playing by listening to it. Right? It's not legendary. I don't care how old it becomes. It's can be verified. If it can be verified, ain't no legend, kids. Not part of the definition. Verify. Proved to be true. To examine the truth of. Okay, so you can verify as an action. To support, to examine the truth of, right, to support by facts. By facts, let's say that, and I'm mentioning names because these are people who are called legendary and have do things that people call legendary, as an Eric Clapton. And there's others because if something happens, that if a guy gets an award, how about Santana? That kid, that guy, is that his? What's his first name? Pablo Santana? Doesn't matter. Santana gets an award. Remember that guy, Santana? Should I go back to Eric Clapton? He gets an award. Someone will say, introduce him and go, here's the legendary guitar playing. Wrong! Wrong! The actual definition is a very special, specific, particular status. By giving it to everyone, it is not particular. It is not, it's nothing. There are other words. Go to a thesaurus and find words that would work. It could be iconic. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're verifying, okay? Can't verify? So you can verify. Name any person recently that you heard, living or dead, for any which what reason, where a news reporter or a journalist wrote or a news reporter on TV spoke, a news writer said and the news anchor said it, died or did something and called, used, modified the person's name with legend. Anyone, okay? Wrong. Wrong. What does it mean in that context? I am tired of this. And I know because one time, if not more than that, and I appeared onto a show, a radio show or what have you, since Cthulhu Chronicles and well after my career in pop culture land, you know, the actual pop culture land. I don't know what else to call it. And I introduced as, and here's the legendary Frank Cthulhu. Untrue. No. And I said, please. And I didn't mean it to be humble. I meant it to be true. Do not call me legendary. I am not legendary. Nothing I've done is legendary. In fact, nothing anyone has done is legendary. Because if they've done it, then we know they did it, and it's verified that they did it, and therefore it's not even a legend. Are there legends involving people who are real? Maybe there can be. I mean, things made up. And I will give you a wonderful example shortly, right after we break. I'm going to come back. So anyway, there it is, verifiable, and you need to, examine the truth to support it by facts. Facts. Facts are real things, proving, just like the definition itself says, all right? Now, I'll go back to it. I know it. You hear that drone? I wonder. Yeah, I do see it, because the sound meter goes to 42, just based on that little fan thing. And it's cool tonight, and that's how weird it is being. Okay. Where it is again? Legend? Legend. Leg. Leg. Legacy. Legend. Legend. Legendary. Legendary. Let's just look. You know, existing only in a legend. So something that's legendary has to be an element of something that's in a legend, and something that's in a legend has to be something from history that cannot be verified. Okay? That's simple enough. And it really defines the word. And they don't mean legend or legendary in the definition of the word when they give it to people who have awards or whatever or passed away or what have you. And they use that word to modify these people, and it's not true. And well, you're saying like, well, if it's not true, but if you can't verify it. So, you know, in that respect, in a left-handed kind of way, if you say Francis Ford Coppola is a legendary director, well, that means we can't prove that, right? That means what's the legend? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick out people and we're going to do a little dramatic thing when we come back after the first hour break. But using a legend or legendary, like I said, you can find a word that, well, you can call someone iconic, historic. You could say someone is historic because of, but when you say, I don't know, I'm trying to think of someone. Well, then anyone, I don't know. They use it for every single person with celebrity. That's nuts. Even if you want it to mean this, everyone knows this person and refers to this person and is inspired by this person, even if they use the word for that, it's incorrect. And because it's incorrect and overused, It means nothing. Because everyone gets it. You know, people who win Oscars, actors who win Oscars, or actors who win any kind of big awards, right? They get those awards. People who don't can't be called Oscar winners, can they? No, because they didn't win. They even say Oscar nominated, right? All right, as I said, this can go on along, but I'm going to give you I hope it's going to turn out to be perfect. example by using. Let's see what happened to this now. I got to put this thing on here, and then I have to go to the bathroom while I'm waiting because, you know, what am I going to do, right? Yeah, someone's got to. All the coffee I had. And the water, because I got to stay. Why? Because I want to replenish my precious bodily fluids. Because dehydration is the enemy. Remember that. If you remember nothing else. Well, if you remember nothing else but that, you're in deep poo-poo. See, I don't even say it. I can't say it. My name is Frank Atolo. The man's name adjoins the title of the show. And the show has gone an entire hour already. We may go 2 hours. And by the way, you're welcome for the wonderful radio. I'm setting the record straight on what's legendary and the definition of legend. And we're going to try to elevate it to its true definition and not make it, you know, if you're like... I've had so many arguments with people about this, not arguments, but I mean discussions and trying to, you know, get through it and understand that, I'm always, when I'm talking about it, I'm always like, is there some kind of argument going on here? That isn't, but it's going on. Anyway, where's my other thing here? Is it here? Yeah, here we go. We're going to take a short break. Go get some, liquid or what have you, go dispose of bodily waste and replenish your precious bodily fluids, get yourself some liquid, come back. We'll catch you. When we come back, after our mid... I got to come up with people, though. Who's the last person I read about? I don't know. Using anyone doesn't really matter, does it? Oh, I know. Yes, okay. A studio musician, famous now and in the past, whatever, 20 years, because otherwise a completely invisible person to everyone. There's been some TV and magazine, pop culture magazine things written about a lady named Carol K, a member of the Wrecking Crew, a very famous bunch of musicians who provided the music for many great hits. I haven't used that word once, right? Okay. And check it out. there was a interview with her because she just turned 99 or 100 or something, and they said the legendary studio musician. Okay, let's use Carol K. When we come back, you'll hear it a little. I may jump into other people, too. Who knows? It doesn't matter whose name I use. I could start with her. Could I? Yes. My name is Frank Atolo. Man whose name adjoins the title of the show. The show is Atolo Chronicles, and we'll be right back.
Thank you. listening. Remember, keep listening.
And 50s. A studio musician. Not many girls were studio musicians. But not many girls who played guitar, no less on hit records, because even bands could not play their own music on a recording. She played and made up, invented riffs, as they're called, in the recording industry. Oh, there were other people who played guitars and bass guitars and six-string guitars and 12-string guitars and other stringed instruments. But only Carol Kaye could fly. That's right. Carol Kaye could fly. And not only did she make up, create something that is iconic, a riff that she didn't even create, but she put it in a certain place, and everyone thought that the author of that song did that. you wrong. Because Carol Kay created the bass part of The Beat Goes On, a Sonny and Cher hit. Oh, you remember it. Everyone remembered it. It seemed to fit so perfectly in that song. But we know she did it, or do we? Did she do it? Maybe she didn't. Maybe that day she heard it while flying. That's right. Carol Kay could fly. Recording studios that were located in the 12th and 13th and 14th floor, like at CBS, where Columbia Records existed. They wondered how did... Here's Carol. She's here right now with her guitar. How did she come in? We didn't see her come in. And the piano player, hear him? He said, I didn't hear her come in. No? You didn't? No. You know why? Because she flew in. She flew in. Other people may have taken airplanes.
Out of the American.
Hey, come on with you guys. What was that? Ruin my piece here? Of course it is. Ruin my piece, of course, here. Carol Kay left her house. This is the legend of Carol Kay, all right? Now that you know, I set it up. Carol Kay left her house. She locked the door behind her because she didn't want anybody in there. It's her house. And then Carol Kay walked down the steps of the brownstone where she was living. Strapped around her back was the case with the guitar that she was going to use in this session that day. Who knows what session it was? Let's say it was that session. It was the session with Sonny and Cher. It was The Beat Goes On. So what did Carol Kay do? She just brought her talent, which went with her anywhere she'd go. That's why they paid her. She got to the sidewalk. And she looked at her watch, and she said, it's a little late. I should have been there before. And Carol Kay said, how am I going to get there? It's 30 blocks away. She was living in Manhattan at the time. How am I going to get there? Oh, she started to run. Impaired by the fact that her guitar, very heavy, was strapped around her back. She looked for a cab. Taxi! Taxi! She'd pay extra. She knew. She'd tip him. If the cab stopped and the window opened, she'd tell the guy. She said, listen, I'll give you $10 more if you get me to the Columbia Studios on time. He would have to go so fast. He would have to maybe hit people on bikes and people just walking and people that were carrying babies and carriages. He would have to do all that. And then Carol said, no, don't do that. I won't ask a taxi driver to do that, but I must get to the recording session. What do I do? And then she lifted her arms and spread them out. And she said, I will avert and bypass all of the traffic and all the people and everyone. I will start to flap my arms. Because I know they're waiting for me. I know they're waiting for me. But if I don't hurry, if I don't get there quickly, then they find another person to play bass and I've got this great idea. So Carol went to the corner because that's the best place to launch herself if you're going to fly. She didn't know she could fly, but she knew she had to. So Carol Kay started to flap her arms up and down as if they were extended from her arms were the feathers and the curvature of other skin and little bones and things that whatever birds have that allows them to go into the air and use the air to drift them, make them whole body and everything they weigh just move like an airplane. Well, maybe not like an airplane because that doesn't flap its wings, but an airplane does have flaps. That's why they call them flaps. So there's Carol now. She's there, and she's starting to flap her wings. She's got to do it. She knows she has to do it. Otherwise, the record that they're going to make will never be remembered as well. Oh, God. It's not like she's going to get any extra money or anything. No, she just has to do it. So she flaps, and she flaps, and she flaps, and she doesn't feel her feet leave the ground at all. Nothing happens. Oh, what do I do? Flap faster, Carol. She hears a voice in her head. The voice says, flap faster, Carol. Flap faster, Carol. Flap. And she thinks of her wings, her arms, like she thinks when she's playing a guitar riff. And she goes, I have to do this faster. How about 16th notes? How about, what's next? 32nd notes. How about 64th notes? And that's what she's doing. She's now using her arms as fast as 64 notes. And suddenly, she lifts off the ground. Carol Kay is flying. Here she goes. What a feeling. She doesn't believe it. There's not even a wind. She's now using her arms, and she's flapping her arms so fast that she's flying. So she looks around because she's got to go in the right direction. I will glide. I will fly. I will curve my arms and I'll swing through there. Here I go. Carol Kay is flying to the recording session. There they go. And her guitar, though it's weighing her down, it doesn't matter because the aeronautics of this works. The aeronautics work. And she's flying. And she goes, geez, I love flying so much now. Maybe I won't go there. Maybe I'll keep flying. Maybe I'll fly higher than the Empire State Building, which at the time might have been the highest building. Yes, she could go at least as high as the Chrysler Building. Wait, what if there were a wind? Suddenly, Carol Kay is imbued with the entire history of the biological creature called the bird, and she's flying. No one will ever believe this, she says, but I'm doing it. But she remembers that she has a mission. She would not be flying if she didn't have to fly somewhere and fly there fast. So she couldn't just take advantage of the fact that she knew how to fly now. No. Now. She had to fly directly to the Columbia, the CBS building where the Columbia studios were located. And there she goes. All right, she says. She'll turn around. She knows how to do that. Put one arm down, one arm up. The wing moves. And suddenly, she's now veering to the left. She's banking. She's not just flying. She's banking. And she's heading towards the CBS building. Yes! Yes! Carol! There it is! She can see it! She can see the skyline! Oh, gosh! All she has to do is make sure that she aims toward the windowsill that is on the floor of the recording studio! Yes! Yes! Just another little bit. She's amazed, though, at how agile she has learned to fly and use her wings. She never knew she even had it. But she's going, and she knows that if she makes one wrong move, she will crash right into the side of the building. Oh, no. Not only would she not get to the recording studio, she would die. Guide my wings! Guide them! I see the window! degrees, 40 degrees. Oh, my goodness. She's coming in fast. She lifts her legs because she knows that she can perch herself onto the windowsill. And she starts to slow down. And there go her legs. They're resting. They're resting on the windowsill of the very floor of the CBS building where the Columbia Records studio is located. Now all she has to do is get through that window. Carol. Carol. She looks through the window. She sees a couple of the other guys. Members of the Wrecking Crew. Members of the Wrecking Crew. Musicians. And then to the left, all the way in the back, she sees Sonny Buono. Ready. They're all ready. What does she do? She takes her left arm, the wing, puts it on the top of her right shoulder. She takes her right hand, puts it on the tightly onto her left shoulder so that her arms are crossed, her wings are crossed. And slowly, through some strange, mystical way, she's able to shake, and all of the electrons and the cells in her body become different parts. And her body, though it's still her body, is now separated by a million and a billion and a trillion, but who's counting cells and electrons and protons? And what happens? She's able to permeate the hard crap, the wall, the very glass. Everyone is tuning up and doing stuff and walking around inside of the studio. No one notices Carol Kay has entered the room through osmosis. No less that she flew there. She got there by flying. She's just happy. And so she stands there and takes a deep breath because she's a little dizzy after such an occurrence. And then she turns around and she sees the piano player and he sees her and she goes, "Hey, how are you, Stu?" And then she turns and sees the guitar player and she goes, Hey, Mark, how are you?" And the drummer, "Hey, Pete, how are you?" And she's saying to everybody, "Hello," because she's made it. She's there and no one has questioned. She's just there. They didn't see her come in because she came in magically and without any what? Anyone noticing? Without any fanfare, Carol Kay had made it. Sonny Bono sees her on the side, but he didn't see her walk through the door. In the front, there's only one entrance into the recording studio. And he wonders, but he's glad she's there because it's just time to do it. It's just time now to do it. And so she sits down. She unzips her guitar case, takes out her guitar. It's a bass guitar because she's going to play bass on The Beat Goes On. And she says to Sonny, because he walks in and goes, "Well, we didn't even see you come in, Carol." A bad but passable imitation of Sonny. Carol says, listen. I have an idea for this song. An idea with a bass guitar that could keep it. Just make this song really good. I mean, make it more memorable. Not that your voice and Cher's voice is memorable or not memorable. It is. It definitely is. She says, but, all be the idea. I want to play it for you, this idea. And he says, well, all right. He says, how about you do it? Do you want to do it? And she says, yes. Listen to this. This is how we'll start it. Hey, that's pretty good.
The beat goes on.
And he starts to sing.
The beat goes on.
And the rest of the band starts picking up on it.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain.
Cher looks good today. She looks hot as one of the guitar players. And the drummer goes, I like this beat. Hey, this is better than what you thought to do, Sonny.
Charleston was once the rage of home.
History was being made with a hit that everyone
history
knew.
History has turned a page of home.
Was built upon Carole King's
bass. The current thing.
They're just rehearsing now and everybody's into it. Sorry they didn't put the mic on.
Newborn King.
Louder. Carole, do it.
Beat goes
that
on.
Is it, that's the one, that's it.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain.
Guitar player leans over to Carole and says, we didn't think you could make it. How did you get here so fast? She said, I flew.
The grocery store, the supermarket.
Years they talk about it.
And men still keep on marching off to war.
And Sonny, of course, said, man, I'm glad I thought of that.
Electrically, they keep a baseball score.
Keep moving it. Let's hear that again, Carole.
The beat goes on. The beat goes on.
Yeah, that's like the beat is going on. He loves it. Yeah.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain.
Carole's going, yeah, you like it, you like it. Keep looking around. Oh, they love it. Everybody's in the groove. Listen to the drummer, yeah.
Grandma's sitting chairs and reminisce. Boys keep chasing girls to get a kiss.
Carole goes, I think maybe I'll fly back.
Cars keep a going faster all the time.
He'd have put it in the lyrics if he knew it happened. And Carole King, flying to our sessions. In the air, flying, and all.
The beat goes on.
There it goes. Go on, Carole. There it is.
The beat goes on.
The iconic riff.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm.
Imagine if it was just boom, 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 boom. And she never would have done it if she didn't get there in time. Some other musician would have come in. Here we go.
Yes, the beat goes on. And the beat goes on.
And that is how
the beat goes on.
The iconic 1967 Beat Goes On hit was created. Now that would be a legend in itself. Doesn't make her legendary. It makes her part of the legend. Why is it a legend? Okay, everyone? Because it's a part of that history that everyone knows and it cannot be verified. No one can prove that Carole did or didn't fly on her own behalf from her own arms that became wings to the studio. There you go. I could go on and on and on and on. I could do that with any possible person. And yet, when they talked with her on this station, because she's moving to some place in the Midwest. Yeah, she's moving to Saudi Arabia. No. And they said, she's moving there. They said, who? Legendary studio musician, Carole King. Legendary. She's not. And she, like everyone else in the wrecking crew, is not legendary. And if you want to attach a legend to him, that's it. Something like that. And then she becomes part of a legend. Not legendary, but only an element. And by the way, I think Sonny did take total credit. But, you know, when you're a studio musician, that was one of the byproducts would be no credit ever. Here's your check. Go home. You can't even imagine that song without that beat, that bass part beat, right? And maybe she wouldn't have made it if she couldn't fly. See, that's the legend of that song being done with those pieces. I've explained it, and you, now, let's look at some of the more recent people who have either passed or what have you, or been talked about. Well, I'll tell you what, I saw someone had sent me a video of the Wondermints, or the Fendermints, or the Fenderists, the Fenderitises, or the Fendermen, or the, when they were playing somewhere with Brian Wilson, because they play Beach Boys songs. And Brian Wilson was there, and Alan Jardine of the Beach Boys was there on stage. And when they introduced Brian Wilson as, of course, the legendary Brian Wilson, okay? Now, you can hear some wild stories about Brian Wilson, and they are verifiable. They are. You can verify them. So there's no legends. So we don't know. Have you seen the movie Love and Mercy? Inside of that, of the content, in the inside of that movie. What does that mean? In that movie, doesn't even matter if some of it was dramatized. It's based on something that happened, and that doesn't make him a legend if you change something that really happened, because you can verify it really happened. Because it didn't happen that way doesn't make it a legend. And besides, what they say is legendary songwriter. Not a legendary songwriter. These songs did not come from little pods in outer space. That would make them legendary songs, right? They came from pods in outer space. They landed in his house, and little notes came out. Little notes as if they were alive, animated notes. And they sat on his piano and went, "Hey, here it is," and suddenly there was, Surfing USA. No, well, that's a bad example, because that really was a song that was stolen from Chuck Berry. No, there was, there was fun, okay? That's how fun, that's why the legendary song, fun. If it was unverifiable that it came from little pods in outer space and landed only on Brian Wilson's piano. So he had nothing to do with it anyway. That's the how he got it. Legendary. Or maybe, let's think of someone else. This really started with me when the word, you know, was being applied to everyone. And when Tom Petty died, I made on this show some announcements of, I'm sorry he died. I didn't want to see him die. I don't want to see anybody die. Okay? But on the news that night, it was legendary rock star Tom Petty. You can't make up one magical thing about Tom Petty that would put him into a legend, no less say that he was a legendary rock star, because he was there and we saw him, and you could see him and you could verify that he did rock music. All right? We're talking about anyone who's a celebrity or is some part of pop culture and even history. We're talking about pirates, playwrights, pastors, politicians, poets. We're even talking about Playboy Playmates. Remember the story of I don't remember her name. You know, the one who was shot by the guy she was in love with, who was her agent, Dorothy Stratton. Was that Dorothy Stratton? The name just came to me. It's amazing, isn't it? That I got the name. We're talking about magicians. Houdini is the magician. He's the standard by which all magicians since him have been compared. But there's nothing legendary about him. You want to make up a story and put him in it and have something to do with magic and something he did? Then you are making a legend. And he becomes one of the elements of the legend. But is he a legend because he did magic as well as he did magic, as influential as he was doing magic, as popular as he was? No. No. 1,000 times no. 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 1,000 times no. Okay, hold on a second. No. No, 1,000 times no. Anyway, no, no, no. I think we have somebody. We have people saying this. Do we? There's a song? There's actually a song? Look, there's a song. Would he be a legend? I ask you. Let's ask Beatrice Kay herself. I don't know.
She was a child of the valley.
Uh-huh.
An innocent maiden was she.
Ah, she real? So she a legend?
He was a desperate Desmond.
Here's a story we can't verify.
Who owned all the town property.
Ooh, see, here it comes.
He would pursue her through hills and through dells.
Yes.
But she was wise to his game. Oh. Each time he threatened, wed me or else.
Or else.
No was the word she'd exclaim.
Oh, just like
but this poisonous villain. He wouldn't leave her alone.
No, it's a...
He said either you join me in wedlock...
Or
I'll kick you out of your house.
Yeah, like that there, sweetie.
She knew her people were so feeble and old, needed a roof or their heads.
Yeah, what about it?
Winter would soon bring the snow and the cold, yet she defied him. And a saint.
What did she say? Was he a legend? Is this a legend?
No!
No!
No! 1,000 times no! You cannot buy my character. No!
No!
1,000 times no! I'd rather die than say yes.
Ha ha! This is how I feel.
That night he crept up to her window.
Uh-huh.
And oh, how that villain could creep.
Yeah, a villain, the legendary villain.
He stole her out of her boudoir.
Ooh, that's a bad...
And kidnapped her while fast asleep.
Ooh, okay. And...
He tied the gal to the old railroad track.
Oh, that
kind... The train was rushing downhill.
Uh-oh.
She cried to him, though my future looks black.
Mm?
You buzzard. My answer is nil.
Because is it a legend or what?
Now she loved the young village blacksmith.
Oh, she liked another guy.
Muscular he-man was he.
This is a story, can't
he heard that his love was in danger. And right to the rescue flew he.
He, we don't even know their names.
He grabbed his darling in the nick of time. And yelled, this is my future wife.
Oh, yeah.
The villain sneered.
Yeah.
Blacksmith. That maiden is mine.
Snidely Whiplash.
The hero cried.
Oh, yeah.
Not on your life.
Oh, because he's...
Oh, no. No. 1,000 times
not
no.
A legend.
You cannot buy her caress.
Oh, no. Not him.
No.
No.
No. 1,000 times no.
Greg Allman? No.
She'd rather die than say yes.
Dun, 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 dun. Steven Spielberg? No.
Now this is the end of our story.
That's it?
Her honor was left. Without stain.
Uh-huh.
The hero took her to the altar.
Yeah, that's a typical.
The villain was foiled.
Where'd he go?
Once again.
Oh. Yeah.
The mortgage was paid, yeah. And the handsome young Swain.
Yeah.
Moved in with her folks right away.
Good. Beatrice, not a legendary singer.
Life is contented, though simple.
Because here she is singing, yeah.
And no more will she have to say...
It's not even a legendary song! Oh, no!
No! No! 1,000 times no!
No, no!
You cannot buy my caress.
No, no!
No! No! No! 1,000 times no!
No, 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 no!
I'd rather die than say... Yes! Yes!
Wow! You know, that's a kind of a story, you know, the old story of the villain and the guy dressed in black with a hat and everything, and you see in silent movies and stuff. And you've seen it in Bullwinkle cartoons and Crusader Rabbit, although you don't remember Crusader Rabbit. Okay. But that's, didn't really happen. There's no story like that. So that is, in a sense, a legend. Nobody in it, can be verified, right? You can't verify that, that a villain dressed like that or did things like that. The guy, you know, he put her on a railroad track. That's how much he wanted her. Anyway, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, you're listening to Tolo Chronicles. It is not a legendary show. It's iconic. It's original. And it started all of this talk show stuff that happens on the internet, your podcasts, your things, and all your people who do it now. We were here first, but it doesn't make us a legend. There's no legends attached to it. Have I got this through to you yet? I'm talking about, there are, okay, here, I can run this. You know, there are soldiers, they use legendary. Legendary soldier, because there's a hero, it could be a hero. That's another thing, we can get into heroes. That's really overused too, because to be a hero, you have to really do something. You gotta really do something. You can't just do something. Okay? Sailors. I guess you could call Popeye legend. No, you know what? This is amazing, because he's a cartoon character. And if his, when he eats spinach, he becomes strong, and once in a while when he ate spinach in those cartoons, he would rotate his fist until it became like an anvil, literally an anvil, right? Because his punch was going to pack the pressure and, you know, power of an anvil, so his fist turned into an anvil. But that's even verifiable, because there he is in the cartoon doing it. It's not a legend, it's a cartoon character whose fist becomes an anvil. Spinach made him strong. But it didn't, you know, people couldn't do it. But still, no one said they could. So cartoons, fake characters, if they don't exist. But even, like I said, literary characters, there's so many things and different forms of media. They could read the James Bond books, and what James Bond does in those books is not legendary, because the character is doing them and is verified that he did it. And then that same James Bond book, that book is made into a movie, and you say, like, there's a legend where James Bond, you know, did this, and it's like, no, it's not a legend, because he's not real, and he is, but the character is verifiable. When we go back into history and we learn about there were actually people from whom, and we don't know these people because we can't verify them, but we know that there were actual people who did something that turned into this mythical character that nobody could truly verify. Johnny Appleseed. Let's take Johnny Appleseed for a second. There must have been someone who said, I'm going to take these seeds and, you know, maybe it was a girl too, who knows, in this particular territory, I'm gonna make sure that apple trees are gonna grow in this territory right here. And so he had a whole bunch of seeds that would make apple trees and apple plants, or plants that make apples, that is. And then, and so he started spreading them all over, and you know, some people, you know, who thought he was a jerk said, oh, look at Johnny Appleseed over here, because they could have said Johnny everything, you know, if the guy, they just called him Johnny, just the way people used to call people. Hey, Johnny, how you doing, Johnny? So maybe way back when, there was a guy who wanted those some seeds, and then Johnny Appleseed, then they start making up stories about this person who's not even the person who inspired Johnny Appleseed, and they made up stories that were unverifiable because it wasn't that person. The person who inspired Johnny Appleseed may have wanted to plant apple trees everywhere, but he didn't. He didn't do it. He didn't go across the country. He was, maybe he wasn't even American. Maybe he wasn't a he, was a she. And just did it and hey, Johnny Appleseed. And then did you hear about Johnny Appleseed? No, what happened to him? Who's that? It's some guy. He's going all over the country. People start lying, and making up things. And it becomes a legend. Why? Because he's a figure that didn't do what they say he did. He doesn't exist. And none of this verifiable. They can't even verify that the guy who inspired Johnny Appleseed's name was Johnny or Joni, or maybe it was Louise. Look at Louise and her Appleseeds, right? Yeah, like Johnny Appleseed. I don't know, whatever. And they can't even. You can't do it. That's a legend. Paul Bunyan is a giant. Is he? What is he? He's a legend. Jack and the Beanstalk. In the book, of course, in the story, yes. But there was never a Jack. There were never magic beans. Did you hear what I just said? Even though beans, when consumed by a human, can help produce incredible sounds that come out of that human, it doesn't make them magic. Because it's verifiable. Hey, a whole can of beans. Remember the scene in Blazing Saddles, where the cowboys eating the beans, and then they all pass gas of all sorts of different sounds. You hear the cricket? Let me turn this off. Listen. I wonder if that's picking it up. Let's see. Wait. Let's see if it's picking it up. Yes, it's going to like 45. There's a cricket in the studio. This happens every year. And it's only one. It's not a legendary cricket. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. You know, they actually use... Okay, I'll put this back on again. And we'll get ready to get out of here. Because, I mean, how much am I going to... How many examples can I give you already? I think you get it. If nothing else, I have planted a seed in your head, an idea, a correction. You'll think twice, and you should, about calling anybody a legend or what they do legendary if you can't verify it. And Neil Patrick Harris, whose name I could not remember before, and it just came out just like that. And the writers, because he didn't even do it, right? The writers of those shows who said that that character would go, this is going to be, dare I say it, legendary. And that doesn't mean that people are going to talk about it for years and years and years. No, it doesn't. See? He didn't know. And he changed... Probably because of the popularity of that. That's what happens with pop culture. And I don't think it's right. And in the case of definitions, you just shouldn't give someone a, you know, every time I didn't finish that sentence. I know. Every time I'm on Facebook and it's not a lot anymore, and someone uses the term, I ask, I leave a comment, can you please tell me one legend? And if my Carol Kay story did not exemplify my side of this, then I don't know what to tell you. Call everyone a legend. Well, who cares? But it's not going to mean anything. There'd be no impact. And people will make up a definition when they hear you say it. They're not going to, what are they going to think? I don't know. Ask them. You're not doing anyone any favors by calling them a legend. Because it means they're not real and what they did cannot be verified. And with that, look, I made all these notes and I don't even need them. See? Maybe, but while I was doing them, and while I was writing them and thinking, I guess a lot of that stuff stuck in my head. Recently, and let's call it, this is the true L word as far as I'm concerned. Okay, we saw, because I did hear about Tom, Greg Allman died, they call him legendary. Rocker? No, sorry, not real. Filmmaker Joel Schumacher called Woody Allen in an interview, called him the legendary Woody Allen. No, that's not true. I'm sure Woody would like certain things about his character to be, you can't prove them. You know, that makes it, can't prove them. I know that's not going to fit into the, you know, allegations and stuff towards Woody. That's not the point. You just hear it over and over and over again. And that's why this is wonderful radio, because we dare to put into place the pop culture. All right. So you're not going to hear it from me, and don't let anybody, don't go out now and say, you know, I was listening to the legendary Frank. That's not true. Doesn't happen. Didn't happen that way. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show. I'm putting the big books away. The big books of truth right here. And, oh look, a book by the legendary. No, it's not. He's true. He's real. Put that away. And get back on the mic and tell you. Next week, I don't know. Something will happen. Someone may be here or not. Go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Or if you happen to follow me on Facebook, you can go there. Usually it's, there's a little blurb or something. Tells you to get over to wherever. Or, catch it on the rebound or go to juicedtalk.com where eventually, I mean, in the next, not in the next 10 minutes, maybe not in the next 2 days, but this show will be there. And it will be on other show stations because thankfully, they do it. And I let them do it. I mean, it's like, you don't have to, pay for it or anything. So more people can hear it. And then perhaps the word gets out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. If it does, what the heck? Oh, one thing's for sure. It's wonderful radio. And you are welcome for the wonderful radio. The cricket's still going. A little water here. Mm. We can't verify that, but if you want to pass on the Carol Kay story or send it to your local news people or whatever, or anybody who does a thing on Carol, I don't know you, but and I might have run into you sometime in the past. I don't know, but God bless you. You did a great job. And have a good retirement. My name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. You know, you can go to 148.ca/Frank and read my blogs, some laughs. And you can go to Amazon and buy my books. And you can go to Lulu.com and buy my books at digital or analog. And you can go to Blurb.com and get those wonderful Molotov memoir books with the art and development and organization by Stefan Gesick. Those are going to be worth money. They're worth money now. We got to pay them. But I mean, they're going to be worth money someday that you have them and they're not around. And there's going to be other books. And these books' prices are going up, I guarantee you. Good night, Mrs. Ursula, wherever you may be located. You know, I'll see you all around soon. I have nothing more to say.